Hello, and welcome to National Bugle Radio. As most of you probably know by now, our founder and the head and leader of Republic Broadcasting, the Republic Broadcasting Network, John Stadtmiller, has passed away as of Friday morning, November 5th. It was a great shock to everyone. And we're going to do our best to keep this going as keep RBN going as a tribute to him. This is his legacy. It's among his legacies. On Thursday afternoon, I was contacted about 45 minutes before the National Intel Report was supposed to start, about subbing for John. I didn't know that it was because he was particularly ill. I tend to operate on a need-to-know basis. I don't ask questions if I don't really need to know the answer, in general, about a lot of things at least. And so I filled in, and it turned out that was the last show before he passed away. And, you know, it's always an honor to be asked to fill in for him. When I was doing the broadcast and I had Paul Stevenson on with me, I had no idea that that John was, grievously ill. Maybe he didn't even know at that point. I'm not really sure. The details will come out. I'm not the person who's in the know about these things because I never met John in person. I had intended to catch up with him on January 6th when we were both in Washington, D.C., but the way events worked out, that never happened. There was, as you all know, there was a lot of confusion. And so I never actually met him in person. I was on his show a couple of times as a guest, at least once as a guest. It might not have even been two times. I remember once as a guest. We had a few phone conversations. But compared to some of the other hosts who knew him quite well, I really didn't know him very well. But I will say that, when I spoke to him on the phone, and of course I listened to him on the radio, as you all did, he was the real deal, that's for sure. He was a true American patriot. And, of course, RBN is his legacy, but he... He had a career before RBN as well, and other people would be better to pay tribute to the various aspects of his life. So I'll leave that to them. I was on with Jeremy on Friday night, and, you know, we paid tribute to John. But I think what's significant is he brought me in. It was, I believe I was Farron Shoaf's recommendation. He brought me in. He actually offered me a couple hours, even maybe 3 hours. I can only do 1 hour. It's hard enough doing 1 hour because I still work full time. He brought me on. And the thing is, the first time he talked to me, he said, you know, you can talk about anything you want. That's what he said. He said, I could talk about anything I want. I can say anything I want. And I said, really? He says, yes, you can. And I pushed that to the limits. I talk about a lot of things. And the thing is, he wouldn't just bring on some Antifa and say, you can talk about anything you want, right? He wouldn't do that. But he knows that myself and other hosts, we're basically on the same team. Even if we have different ideas about things, the main thing is we all are American patriots. We are all trying to get America back, just like the theme song. We must get America back. Must take America back. We're trying to do that. And, you know, thinking people are not always going to be on the same page about everything. But if you have people who have the same or similar objectives, and they're hashing things out, they're speaking freely, and they're speaking their mind, and bringing ideas forth, that is the way forward. You know, you can. That's the way you, because nobody has all this. Nobody has all the answers. But if we're, you know, speaking freely, and you know, we have callers call in, and we get the ideas, and it's, we hash things out. That's, I think that John understood that that is the way to move forward, and that's what we're doing here. So he never ever told me what to say on my show, and he never actually told me what not to say on the show. Although I will repeat this one story. He didn't say anything directly to me, but I got the vibe from the engineers when I once played a clip of Snoop Diggity Dogg, and he was watching a MMA fight, and he was stoned, and he thought he was watching Colby Covington. Well, actually, he was watching somebody else, but he was too stoned to know the difference. He was watching a black fighter and a white fighter, and he assumed that the white fighter was Colby Covington, and Colby Covington is somebody who is friends with Donald Trump. And so the clip I played, which was, I don't know, 45 seconds or so, it was expletive-laced, a lot of N-bombs, because as he was cheering on his black favorite fighter, the N-words were flying, and the F-bombs were dropping, and all of this. And I don't even remember exactly what my point was. It was something like, I don't know what it was. I don't even remember. It was, you know, that these people just, I don't know. I had a point. I don't remember what the point was. Well, I did hear that it was inappropriate to broadcast language that foul. And so, I don't know if that came directly from John or not, but, you know, we don't encourage foul language. Now, that's not censorship, though. Censorship, you censor ideas, okay? To say that we're not going to have certain profanity or certain unacceptable derogatory terms used is one thing. That's standards. You're just having standards. That is not censorship. Because what I did the next day is I took that exact same clip, but I did kind of a search and replace, and every time that Snoop Diggity Dogg said the N-word, I replaced the N-word with the phrase colored gentleman. And every time he said the F-bomb, I replaced it with heck or hecking. And, you know, some other substitutions. So the exact same ideas were there. No idea was censored. Actually, it was a lot funnier the second time around. It really was a lot funnier. So, there is no censorship. It's complete free speech. And, you know, it really says something that he would bring in somebody that he doesn't even know particularly well. I guess he knew of my work. And just says, just have at it. Speak freely. You've got ideas. Let's have the ideas flow. And, you know, some of my ideas are might clash with some of the other hosts, and that's fine. Or some of the callers. And they, you know, they have time to say things on their hours, and I say things on my hours. But we all do. We all are pulling in the same direction. I think so. And there is a commitment to keeping RBN going. Now, on the, was it on Farron's show, and you know, Farron on Saturday, he'd only found out, I guess, just minutes before going to air, what had happened, and so there's he had a lot of shock in his voice on his show, but he had also been informed not to solicit donations via the website for the time being. And as far as I know, that's still the situation as of Monday. Perhaps it's not, if this show is recorded, and so I don't have any updates, so I'm recording this on Sunday. But actually, it's Sunday night. But we are going to try to keep the network going. There's people, obviously, you know, there's inheritance issues, there's escrow issues, there's all sorts of issues. RBN is, I don't know how it's organized, whether it's organized as a, I don't know how it's organized legally as a company, but at any rate, there are issues, and, but I think everybody involved with RBN is committed to keeping it going, and I'm sure a lot of the listeners are wanting to keep it going. So for the time being, while we're not soliciting donations, this is what I suggest, is you take some money and you put it in a cookie jar, or you put it under your mattress, put it somewhere, put it aside, because we will need it. We will need it going forward once we have the details worked out. I mean, the last thing you want to do is send money via a system and just have it stuck in, you know, escrow or whatever, some escrow account. Or so put it aside. I'm sure within a short period of time, we can receive donations once again. Okay, now, like I said, I was on with Jeremy on Friday night. We did a tribute, and obviously we want RBN to keep going, so I'm going to keep going with the content, and we will have new content, in just a couple of minutes, so stay tuned. I will have Cato on, my regular Monday guest, and we will be talking about some things, as we usually talk about things related to China. We're also going to be talking about the political prisoners in Washington, D.C. We're going to be talking about a debate that Nick Fuentes got into. And, you know, I know some people probably listen to these Monday shows and think, I thought this was, you know, putting America first, and we're always talking about China. But the thing is, if you listen to the shows, we are trying to have a clear view of China and issues related to China, because we feel that there is a misdirection of anger from the people who are really causing problems in the United States towards China, that there's a scapegoating of China, and that as American patriots or people concerned with America, concerned with the future of civilization, frankly, that this needs to be called out. And I think a lot of American patriots could agree with it. And well, anyway, so stay tuned, and I'll be back in just a second.
The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard on corners in town, like a cancer that's silently spreading. There's an unspoken fear, we're on our way down. We must take America back, Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C., before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back. Fight for freedom.
So we are back with now our regular Monday program, and we've got Cato. And before we get into the to the content of our regular show, do you have any words for our RBN audience about John Stadtmiller and his passing and the importance of RBN?
Well, absolutely. I haven't been on the network for much longer, but I absolutely would like to pay my tributes to John Stadtmiller. It was an unexpected passing. I can't say I knew the guy personally, or even remotely, but what he did, what he provided, was a very, very good and extremely important platform for freedom of speech and for dissidents. I think John Stadtmiller, he's really done a lot for the alternative community and for freedom of speech. And I'd like to pay my tributes to him. I'd like to send my condolences to his family. And may John Stadtmiller, may he rest in peace.
Right. And, you know, so our shows tend to we talk a lot about China and are presenting what is a very alternative viewpoint to the certainly to the Trump boomer brigade type, where there's a lot of blaming of China. And, you know, we're countering that narrative, but we're countering it from a viewpoint that should be one that American patriots can appreciate. And I think that's why I never heard any pushback against the types of things that we talk about, because we're talking about it and it makes sense from the point of view of the American people and their interests. The types of things that we're talking about make a lot of sense. Anyway, we're up on the break now, and we'll be right back. Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and a new app, Koshertified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Extendivite has proven time and again it really works. Here's a testimonial from Amazon.com. I am only 40, but I have put my body through hell working in manufacturing for 20 years. I recently started to notice a buzzing feeling along with a stuttering sensation with my heart. I had a full cardio stress done, which I passed. I decided to try Extendivite after getting the jingle stuck in my head. Halfway through the bottle, I really did notice a difference. After getting home from work, I would just sit in a chair for a few hours feeling like crap, and this stuff reduced that feeling along with heart discomfort to almost nothing. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Okay, we are back. All right, so there was, a development or an event that will be of interest. People know I talk a lot about young Nick Fuentes, who is a very interesting person. He's young, 23 years old, and he's got his own, he's built his own platform, and it's a platform that is good for younger people. I mean, RBN is a platform that's designed more for older people who, you know, think in terms of radio. This is for younger people. But he's done debates. He's actually done a lot of debates, and he did a pretty interesting debate this past summer against a lawyer whose name slips my mind, but he's a much older lawyer on Israel. I think it was on Israel, or maybe it was on Jewish Power. But I think it was Israel. He completely embarrassed the guy. He spanked the guy. He had another high-profile debate this past week with a gentleman by, what's his name, Sticks something, Sticks Hammerfjord or something, and what was the debate about?
Well, it was basically about how China concerns the dissidents in the West. China's relation with the dissidents in the West.
And how did it go?
I think it went okay. The guy that Nick Fuentes was debating, his Sticks Hammer, whatever his name. Yeah, he's freaky looking. He's pretty much a freak. The way the guy looks.
Like long hair and.
Long hair. I mean, he
looks like a rock star from the 1970s, maybe.
Yeah, pretty much. Except maybe even a little freakier than that. Yeah, he's got like leather on him. Just a really freaky looking dude. That.
What country is he from?
I think he's from the U.S., but he might live in. I think he lives in Netherlands or something. I don't know. I don't really follow the guy. So. He's not your. Let's just say we're freaky. But yeah, I mean, I think Nick he did an okay job. With the debate, I think overall he still made better points. The thing is, Sticks, this freak, he was arguing from the position of the normie communist position about China, and all his talking points were like, oh yeah, China's authoritarian, and China's influencing a lot of leftist politics, and just really baseless claims about China.
Did he try to give any examples, any backing for the claim that China is influencing leftist politics?
Not really. Other than the fact that he'll cite, Xinhua News, some of their, when they report on Black Lives Matter and all that, they'll say, see, that right there is evidence that China's trying to influence the left. When in reality, it's just, China's just an outside observer looking at what's going on in the U.S. And making its commentary. That's all it is. But he says,
and oh, you know, on occasion, I've seen articles in Xinhua, and you know, you might say, okay, that's not the hottest take. But how many leftists read Xinhua News? Really, come on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. How many? Yeah, how many read Xinhua News? Not that many.
No, that's not. I mean, they're MSNBC, they're CNN, they're Huffington Post or whatever. Xinhua News, every now and then they have an article that mirrors a CNN editorial. So what? I mean, pretty much all foreign media outlet. This is one of the things that always shocked me, because these foreign news outlets, especially ones from countries where English isn't widely spoken, they don't have a lot of access to, you know, direct access to what's going on in the United States. And so they tend to rely on our media, the New York Times. And so yeah, if you look at a random editorial from a non-English speaking country, don't be surprised if it smells a little bit like CNN, which means like a little bit stinky of the bovine manure variety.
Yeah, exactly, because of the Jewish American media influence in the world is just very powerful. Unless, of course,
and that's the thing. The Jewish American media influences the world a lot more than the world media influences events here in America.
Exactly. And in fact, I would say, in fact, almost no leftists read Xinhua News, because the vast majority of leftists in America, they all hate China, because they see China as fascist and racist. The same reason why they hate white European, traditional Europeans. This freak, this Styx, he was just going on about, oh yeah, China's they're authoritarian, and they're, you know, your typical normie libertarian type talking points.
I'm glad to hear that Nick held his own. I know he doesn't have deep expertise in China, but for somebody his age who is not a China expert, I'm sure he did a good job. He seems to be pretty knowledgeable in about at least the basics. Okay, we're up at the break. We'll be right back.
Truth! You can't handle the truth!
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from simplycleanfoods.net, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters. Right now, Amazon Prime members will receive fast 2-day shipping. Go to simplycleanfoods.net. That's simplycleanfoods.net. But do it today.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Okay, we are back. Was there anything that we needed to finish up on regarding the Nick Sticks debate?
Well, yeah, I just wanted to say, too, that, yeah, I mean, Nick, his arguments, he definitely did hold his ground on China's position, which is that, he believes that, China's social credit system is based on, traditional values, Confucian values, family values, how you respect your neighbors, that kind of stuff, whereas in the U.S., if the social credit system that they're trying to build is based on, if you support gay anal and trannyism and, the vaccine and all that, and degeneracy. So he did emphasize that pretty good.
It's a good point, and it's the exact same thing that, like, Mark Collett or Andrew Anglin say, that, well, we don't really want a social credit system, but if we were going to have a social credit system, the Chinese one would be vastly superior. A social credit system that emphasizes, traditional values and pro-social behaviors, as opposed to one that is going to penalize traditional values and promote gayness and trannyism.
Yeah, exactly. And then also Nick, because the problem with Nick's rival Sticks is he's what I call a libertarian utopian. He believes, like, the whole world would be a utopia if everyone was, all about, freedom and all that, which is just not true. I mean, most nations don't develop out of freedom. They develop out of some kind of authoritarianism. That's just a fact. But the thing is, Nick was saying that, we have to have help from the outside. We can't just have, we can't just keep relying on grassroots politics to get us out of this situation. We have to have help from the outside. And he made the good point that, the American regime, I call it the American Empire. He calls it the American regime. It's the same thing. He was saying that, the American regime is opposed to American dissidents and is actively waging war against American dissidents. At the same time, that American regime hates China and is openly threatening China. So therefore, China and American dissidents have that same enemy, which is the American regime. And he made that point very well. So I think he did good on that. He did kind of pander a little bit to the whole, China is more authoritarian than America narrative, which, I find problems with because, first of all, I mean, China, the Chinese are Chinese. Americans are Americans. They're two totally different peoples. China has its own way of doing things. There are certain cultural elements that are, different cultural elements that shape, how different nations and societies, how they structure their government. And yeah, China is, it is more centralized, but is it any more free? Well, I mean, let me ask you this, Dr. Slattery, would you and I, if we were to go to China Would we be freer there? Would we be more free there or less free?
I haven't been there for a long time, but I would think I don't feel very free here. That's the thing. Not in the least. I don't feel free to talk about these things to my neighbors, for instance. I feel under constant threat. And then I know we're going to be talking about this more. I mean, you look at people. I was in Washington, D.C. on January 6th, and look at what happened to those people. I was in Charlottesville, and look what happened to those people. Now, I didn't go into the Capitol. I wasn't actually a Charlottesville rally participant. I was there more as a journalist. But there are people who thought they were journalists, and you're going to be reading this letter from somebody who thought he was covering the Capitol events as a journalist, and we're going to be hearing about it. So the thing is, China might be more authoritarian than the typical American's understanding of America, but the typical American's understanding of America is a misunderstanding. And here's the thing. People in America who don't understand politics are completely free to talk about politics. People in America who understand politics are not free. They're not free to talk about it. And that's the thing. So there's a giant misunderstanding about freedom in America. If you don't understand America, and you don't understand the limits on your freedom, and you wouldn't push them, you wouldn't test them anyway, fine. But you know, the thing is, if you're in China and you're not pushing outside of the mainstream, you're not going to have any problems. And plus, you probably won't get kicked out of your job or be required to have a gene altering vax or any of this other stuff. Mm-hmm. All right.
I mean, they do have the vaccine requirements in China, but it's not this weird gene altering substance, you know, Sinovac.
The Sinovac? I mean, I don't want any vax right now as a matter of principle, but the Sinovac, if I had a choice between taking the Sinovac in order to escape America, or being stuck here in the tyranny that they've got planned for us, I would take that vax, the Sinovac, and run away, because it is just an old fashioned vax, just like you've had for smallpox or mumps or anything else. It's just old fashioned. It's relying on centuries old technology. It's nothing gene altering, and it probably doesn't work. And who cares? Who cares if it works? Because exactly. who's afraid of that virus? I ain't afraid of no virus.
Exactly. So, all right. Well, speaking of tyranny and just evil in America, I have this letter from a political prisoner from January 6th who was, he was a podcaster, he was a media, he was, I guess you could say, yeah, he was a journalist, just trying to cover the event, and he's rotting in the Washington, D.C. prison system, the Washington, D.C. prison, and he wrote this letter basically describing his conditions. So, with all that said, I will read the letter in its entirety. So, here's what he says. He says, "Dear fellow Americans, I never thought I'd write a letter like this, but we're living in very different times. This is my cry for help. My name is Nathan DeGrave, and as a nonviolent participant at the January 6th rally, I spent the last 9 months detained as a political prisoner in pod C2B of the DC DOC, otherwise known as DC's Gitmo. The conditions here for January 6ers have been inhumane. In fact, some inmates are begging, or even begging, to be transferred to Guantanamo Bay, where they have more acceptable standards. Class action lawsuits are being filed against this prison, and even the ACLU has gotten involved. Senators Matt Gaetz and Major Taylor Greene have since attempted to gain access to this facility and inspect the conditions of the jail, only to be..."
Just to interject for a second, he misspoke. They're not senators, they're representatives, but please continue.
Right, right. "The vile filth of what has become our daily life is being illegally hidden from the members of our own Congress. So, let me tell you about what me and many of the other January 6ers have been experiencing in D.C.'s Gitmo. It is my hope that with media exposure and awareness to the American public, that something may be done and that this never happens to anyone ever again. Our conditions. For the first 120 days in D.C.'s Gitmo, January Sixers experienced daily lockdowns for 23 to 24 hours before being allowed to leave our small 120-square-foot cell. The physical and mental anguish that results... The physical and mental anguish that results from this kind of severe isolation has caused many people to go on a rapid mental decline. As a result, a large percentage of us are heavily medicated with anti-anxiety and antidepressant drugs, which helps us to cope with the psychological and mental abuse that we endure. Many times, the little rec we do receive is stripped away if our cell isn't up to the standards of the guard on duty. This changes from day to day. January Sixers have lost rec time and out-of-cell activity anytime news interviews about the jail are aired on TV, people speak up about our conditions, our rallies are held in our name. We'll probably have a lockdown upon publishing of this letter, so I have already warned those I know in advance. Masks are weaponized and used against us, even though we never leave the facility. Officers have walked in with the sole intention of needing to write 20 to 30 disciplinary reports against January Sixers, which adversely affects our chances of release and causes loss of privileges, phone time, and commissary. Masks need to be covering both the nose and mouth at all times, or we are threatened and locked down in our cells. January Sixers are always respectful to the employees around us, but COs maintain the need to invent reasons for discipline, correctional officers. Privileged legal documents have been confiscated and gone missing from various cells, and highly sensitive discovery is watched by employees during our legal cells, or our legal calls. Jordan Mink, for example, had all discovery taken by ERT officers on August 23rd, despite the objection of his attorney. They handcuffed him, searched his room, and then proceeded to take all video evidence in his possession. Additionally, legal visits take 2 to 3 weeks or more to be scheduled, leaving little time to discuss our defense and prepare for trial. The extreme medical neglect in this facility has caused a variety of adverse illness and disease. Some show signs of scurvy, and some have even COVID-like symptoms, but medical personnel have refused to treat it. Christopher Warwell, for example, is an inmate with cancer who also broke his hand in prison and required surgery. Both have been completely ignored. Federal Judge Royce Lamberth got to the point where on October 12th, he filed contempt of court charges against a warden of the D.C. DOC, claiming that Warwell's civil rights had been violated and demanding the U.S. Attorney General inquire further about his and other possible violations. Another inmate, Peter Steger, waited for months to receive his CPAP breathing machine and has needed an MRI since spring, which has also been ignored by staff. The harsh, unlivable conditions of our unit has caused health hazards that defy the Department of Health regulations. And on at least five occasions, raw sewage has overflowed our unit, causing human fecal matter to flood the floors and rooms. That's also in addition to the mold on cell walls, as well as the rusty pipes and dirty water that flows from these sinks. White rags turn brown when exposed to the water from our faucets. We are undergoing severe nutritional deficiencies and starvation. For breakfast this morning, I received a tray of flavorless paste, 2 slices of bread, and a slice of bologna. Lunches usually consist of rice and beans, but we'll get cold chicken/beef patties if we're lucky. For dinner, we are sometimes fed a diet of cheese sandwiches and bologna and cheese up to 4 to 5 times per week. Without commissary, people like myself are forced to starve. I suffer headaches and nausea on an almost regular basis from the malnutrition and constant hunger I am subjected to. I have lost almost 15 pounds since I have been detained. Our rights to personal hygiene are totally neglected. Razors are prohibited, and inmates are forced to either go unshaved and grow long beards or use a razor-free cream that burns and irritates the skin. But many other jails have allowed the use of razors without incident. Haircuts are also prohibited from unvaccinated inmates. For me, it's been nearly 9 months. I look unrecognizable in the condition I'm in. I fear even my family would not recognize me. Contact with the outside world from legal visits to seeing loved ones is highly restricted. After in-person visits, legal or otherwise, we are forced to undergo humiliating strip searches, despite all visitors being thoroughly checked for contraband. If it's a legal visit, we are placed in a 14-day quarantine with no out-of-cell time, even if your attorney is vaccinated and tests negative for COVID. With visits with family or members or for unvaccinated inmates are never allowed. As a result, many people have skipped critical meetings with their counsel, never get an opportunity to see their fans or friends and family. Video visitation, which is available to the rest of the jail, is restricted in the January 6 pod. Mail is delayed for months, and phone calls are limited to a maximum of pre-approved 12 numbers. If there's anyone else in our extended family or otherwise we'd like to call, we're pretty much out of luck. Religious services, protected by the First Amendment, are not provided to January Sixers. Neither are in-person classes or other activities available to the rest of the jail. an inmate named Ryan Samso, instead attempted to organize his own Bible study inside the pod until he was viciously beaten and left for dead by correctional officers. He suffered a broken eye socket and brain damage as a result of the vicious attack. He's now permanently blind in one eye. On another occasion, Scott Fairland was confronted by an officer in the middle of the night, and his life was threatened once the officer's body cam was disabled. Many, like myself, are afraid they could be the next victim. And last but not least, we only experience racism from many guards on a daily basis, being, listen, the only white Republicans in the entire jail. The false narrative has been passed around the jail and to correction officers that we are white supremacists. We are not. The inmate population is predominantly black, so we are at risk here of being here because of this false narrative. The guards are, and this is very important, the guards are mostly liberal migrants from Africa who have been conditioned to hate us and hate America. January 6ers have been mocked, beaten, and ridiculed by guards for singing the national anthem. The corrections officers despise our politics and love the love we have for this country. At one point, an officer even yelled, "F America," and threatened to lock us down for a week if we attempted to sing the national anthem again. And then he goes on and says, the truth about my story. Finally, I feel like I should briefly touch briefly on the government and portrayal, or prosecutor's portrayal of who I am as a person. No, I am not a terrorist, extremist, or any of the other names I've been called by the government. More than anything, I am a red-blooded patriot, and I love this country more than anything. I am being unfairly prosecuted and definitely overcharged. I have never assaulted anyone, destroyed property, or stolen anything. I walked through wide open doors to enter the Capitol, along with my camera crew, hoping to get the rally on video. I was never even armed at any point inside the Capitol. My goal was to make a documentary and get likes and shares on social media. Yes, I wore a costume, which the prosecutor refers to body armor as paramilitary gear, but it was for the movie and for nothing of the sort. And yet, 9 months later, here I sit with 10 years worth of charges and no hope for a future. The surveillance footage shows absolutely no signs of an assault, and despite attempts by media companies to get it released to the public, the government has denied it. I think that's because they are fully aware that this footage is questionable at worst, and exonerates me at best. Please don't be fooled by the media. I am a loving and peaceful person with no history of violence. The weaponized DOJ and their blatant resentment of my respect for President Donald Trump has put me in a situation that makes me feel helpless in my current situation. How you can help? Despite me and other January 6ers experiencing these unthinkable conditions, all of us remain positive and hopeful that, in the end, justice will prevail. We maintain a love for this country and the Constitution like no other. The only thing keeping us going is our undying patriotism, the camaraderie between one another, and our faith in God. Please share this letter with everyone you know, friends and family, senators, representatives, political organizers, civil rights groups, and media outlets. The truth has got to get out. And the jail must pay for what they are doing to his country's citizens. As a result of this unlawful detainment in the last 9 months, I have lost everything. The successful business I spent 13 years of my life working on, my apartment in Vegas, and social media accounts of a lifetime of memories, you name it. The government has essentially canceled me. Not only that, following my arrest, my best friend of 12 years robbed my apartment, stole my cat, and hacked my personal Instagram with 100,000 followers. Since then, I often go between feelings of hopefulness and moments of depression. I wonder if I can ever recover from this, but I have to remind myself to never give up. There are major medical complications I struggle with now as a result of the jail's neglect of my health since being there. If there's any way I hope to recover, my only hope are the ones who are reading this. I was on top of the world at one time, and that now seems like only a distant memory. If there's anything you can do to help, I would appreciate anything at all. The inmates here are being extorted with lack of nutrition, forcing me to spend what's left of commissary I can no longer afford. I need desperate help with my legal expenses and just help staying alive in here with commissary and the expenses I still have on the outside as my livelihood and life has been ever stripped away from me. Thank you for any effort you can afford, even if a few dollars goes a long way. Sincerely, with love, Nathaniel DeGrave.
Okay. That took us up to the break, but let's talk about it on the other side.
Say one last thing, which is, if anyone after reading this still wants to talk about China and still wants to complain about China's prisons and whatnot, after reading this, they can go screw themselves, because nothing like this has ever happened in post-Maoist China.
We'll be right back. Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself.
What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and the new app, Koshertify, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, no child left behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Okay, we're back, and you know, that letter here, you've got literal Africans. They're importing people from Africa to torture native-born Americans, and nothing like that has ever happened in China. And you know, even if that jail, I mean, the jail is bad enough. I mean, it's bad on the outside. It's also in a bad neighborhood. I've been by that jail before. You know, so you've got these people. They are just like way behind enemy lines. They're way in the hood. You've got literal African guards. Richard Carey sent that to me maybe 10 days ago or so. And said, do you think this is legit? And, you know, I did some checking. It's like, well, the person who wrote the letter is somebody who's been arrested, and I was able to find out some things about him. And, you know, they might say, oh, well, he wasn't really nonviolent. There is video of him apparently inside the Capitol, and one of the Capitol guards was walking away and might have said something, and then he got in his face for a second. But if that's all they've got, just him taking exception to something a Capitol guard said in an emotionally charged situation. I mean, it's not if there were any punches thrown or anything. It is really, really bad. And, you know, I know we've talked in the past about the so-called Uyghur camps, right, where they got the Uyghurs. And, you know, they'll show them sitting in classrooms being indoctrinated. Do you think these guys would rather be sitting in a classroom or locked in sewage-filled jails and tortured by Africans? Which would you rather?
Even I mean, you're already saying that. We'd rather go to Guantanamo Bay. Even Guantanamo Bay, we get better treatment. Which, you know, that obviously we know Guantanamo Bay is a torture center too. But the thing is, yeah, I mean, absolutely. If they're, here's the difference. I mean, at the very worst in China, you could say, oh, these are camps, but you're still able to move around and you know, move around the premises. Whereas these political prisoners are being held in, these are isolation cells where they're locked in their tiny little moldy, disgusting sewage filled cell for 23 hours out of the day. I mean, that right there just violates. It violates a whole list of health, you know, safety health standards.
And these are people, they're locked into conditions that would make people from any third world jail shudder. And what are they there for? What did they do? The police on Capitol Hill opened up, because there's hundreds of them. There's, 500 people there. The police opened up the doors and just let these guys walk in. They just let them walk in, and they just simply wandered inside. And the few people who were instigating the breaking of windows and whatnot, we know a lot of them are not being charged with anything. So these were people who were completely entrapped, and they're being held. Even the charges that they've got, they're being held for. They're not even being charged with trying to overthrow the government. They're being charged with trespassing on federal property or interfering with government operations, you know, these types of things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're being ruthlessly treated in prison for simply supporting the legitimate president of the United States at the time, mm-hmm. and for, you know, walking into the Capitol when the police officers had come in. It
boggles the mind, but you know, we had an abbreviated show today, and actually we're up at the end, but thank you so much for joining me again, Cato.
Well, thank you, Dr. Slattery, and once again, just want to say, John Stadtmiller, rest in peace.
And I'll be back again tomorrow with an episode of National Bugle Radio. It'll be exciting.
Standing 6'4", weighing in 245 pounds of crime-fighting, political science-analyzing brawn, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Patrick Slattery.
So, Mike, get off this anti-cicada agenda.
I'm a born-again traditional Christian, and my favorite possessions are right here on my nightstand. That would be the King James Bible and my .357 revolver.
I'd rather be ruled by Chinamen than Jews.
Cool it with the anti-Semitic remarks, right?
Just because you steal an election and terminate the republic doesn't mean you terminate the people in the republic, because we're still here.
I'm not taking the vaccine. Fuck you, Bill Gates.
There was a way forward still on January 6th. What needed to be done is to object to every single state.
The COVID-19 virus was the setup. The vaccine could very well be the bioweapon.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central. And Wednesday at 1 Central.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.